message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
On today's broadcast, I'd like to answer a question that every believer ought to ask. Believers ask a lot of questions. In fact, we get scores of questions here at our office about the Bible and about various different topics, and we're always glad to have your questions if you care to write. But you know, some questions are more basic than others. Some questions go right to the heart of an issue instead of skirting around the area, the perimeter of a thing. As we continue to examine the 2 Timothy 2:15 method of Bible study, that is to rightly divide the Word of Truth. And by the way, if you've just joined us today for the first time, or you're not a regular listener to our program, you can catch up in our studies in rightly dividing the Word of Truth. We'd be glad to help you to catch up with us where we are. A number of different things that we do. For example, we have cassette tapes. We offer cassette tapes each week here on the radio, on the broadcast, the television program here. We'd be glad to catch you up. We have a set of 4 cassette tapes that are about right division of the Word of God. We have a chart. You see it in the beginning when we open up the program, this color chart that shows you the prophecy program and the mystery program. And we'd be glad to send you this color chart along with 4 tapes on rightly dividing the Word of Truth. If you'd write me today, Dan will give you the address at the end of the program. Write me, or the telephone number will be on the screen during the program. Jot it down. If you'll write me today and you say, Brother Jordan offered the 4 tapes on right division along with the color chart, and I'd like to have those. If you'd do that, I'd be glad to send them to you. If you'd do me the favor of writing, I'd be glad and privileged to thank you by sending you free of charge without any obligation these 4 tapes. Our desire is to help you. Our desire is to give to you the light and truth God has given to us. And we want to do it free and without charge. We want you to rejoice in the same truth that we rejoice in. And that's the wonderful message of the wonderful grace of God from the Word of God rightly divided. And we do everything we can to try to help you to do that. And that's why when we study on this program, we get on with studying. And that's what I want to do today. We've come in our studies together to the book of Acts. And more specifically, we're looking at the middle section in the book of Acts. And we're going to continue our studies today in mid-Acts and ask the question that every believer ought to ask. Oftentimes, they don't know to ask. One time several years ago, I was out on the East Coast meeting with a group of elders from a large Bible church out on the East Coast. And the group of us meeting there, and they had asked me to come there and to talk to them about right division of the Word of God. They were struggling with some issues. And we began to talk about, these are men who pastor a church of great size, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there, over 1,000 people in the morning service the day I was there, the weekend I was there, and they had all kind of ministry going on there. And as we talked about things in the Scripture, one of them said to me, one young man on the staff there, he says, you know, Brother Jordan, you're answering questions that nobody has ever asked me. And I chuckled at that, and I said, well, then maybe they're not asking you the right questions. And a lot of times that's true. There are some questions that just skirt around the edges of things and deal with the symptoms. There are some questions that go right to the heart of issues and deal with the source and with the root. And it's far better to deal with the root of an issue than just the peripheral symptoms of an issue. If you had an illness, you wouldn't want somebody just to give you an aspirin to take care of the pain. You'd want them to find the problem that's causing the pain. That's the difference. There's some questions that go right to the heart of an issue. And that's the question I'm posing to you today, and I want to answer for you today, is that kind of a question. What is the question? Well, the question is simply, why the Apostle Paul? Why, when you come through the book of Acts, all of a sudden, when you come to the middle part of the book of Acts, does Paul show up? Galatians chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul says, Paul, an apostle. So I know who he is. He's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says, Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. Paul's apostleship did not come from human origin. No man, no group of men sat down and thought it would be a good idea to make Paul an apostle. Neither by man. It was not human instrumentality. No group of men said, we're going to separate Paul out over here and make him an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of human origin. It's not of human instrumentality. Then where did his apostleship come from? But, he says, by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. In Ephesians chapter number 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandments of God. By the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ who is our hope. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. You see, when Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary and was resurrected, spent 40 days with his apostles, ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit back on the apostles, and they go out in the early Acts period here, and the 12 apostles over here, they're trained over here for the ministry that they carry out over here. There came a point in the book of Acts out here where this ministry that the 12 are carrying on is going on here, and then all of a sudden there's another ministry begins with another man, the Apostle Paul, out here. This ministry over here is headed up under the leadership of Peter. Why then? This ministry back here was going on just fine. Peter's ministry was carrying on. Peter was going on with the ministry God had given him, Christ had trained him for. What is the deal over here with Paul? Why all of a sudden does Jesus Christ from heaven's glory up here reach down, save Saul of Tarsus, and then send him out and make him Paul the apostle? What is the purpose of that? Well, number one, Paul was not made an apostle. And by the way, he says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. And that's a passage of Scripture you need to understand. Paul has the office of Gentile apostleship. I'm a Gentile. If you're listening to me today, you're a Gentile. God Almighty set the nation Israel aside. We've seen that. He's taken the nation Israel and set them aside from their position of favor as the chosen nation of God. He set them aside and has sent salvation to the Gentiles through the fall of Israel. That's the heart of Paul's message in Romans 11, verse 11. And as the one who talks about the salvation of God going to the nations through the fall of Israel, he makes Paul the apostle of that message. The apostle of that truth of God's grace being freely given to all men, no longer to one special group of people through a special religion and special rites and ceremonies, but now going to all men freely, simply by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The apostle Paul, by the way, Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles. You're a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. Then who's our apostle? Paul is. Well, why in the world did God have to raise up another apostle for us? What about these back here? Somebody says, well, Paul is really the 12, but that won't work. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Now, you know, there are a lot of ideas and a lot of things that go along with ideas that men have. I don't know about you, but I do a lot of, I'm in communication with a lot of people about different kind of things, and I get all kind of communications all the time about people saying, well, so-and-so is, it ought to be this way, and it ought to be that way, and it ought to be that way, and the Bible says this, and people don't really pay a lot of attention to what the Bible says. They pay a lot of attention to what their traditions say and what they presume the Bible to teach. Well, it's important just to let the Bible speak and say what it says. And, you know, there are people come along and says, well, we speak where the Bible speaks and are silent where the Bible's silent. And then they go off on a tangent about what their tradition and their denomination teaches. And that isn't the issue. I don't have a denomination for you to join. I don't have anything for you to be a part of. All I want to do is try to communicate truth to you. And if you shall know the truth will make you free. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 5, speaking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he says in verse number 4, 1 Corinthians 15, and he was buried, and that he was rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom are the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, as one born out of due time. The apostle Paul says he was seen back here, first of Cephas, then of the 12. The apostle Paul standing over here, right in 1 Corinthians, over here in Acts chapter number 19, looks back and says, Jesus Christ, Saul, was seen by the 12 apostles in his resurrection before he ascended into heaven. Paul wasn't even there back here. The apostle Paul himself clearly identifies Matthias as one of the 12 who sees Christ back here, and he clearly separates himself from them. Every time Paul talks about it, he always makes his ministry distinct and separate. The apostles, the 12 are back here, I'm over here. Last of all, he was seen of me. He was seen of the 12, he was seen of all the apostles, last of all, me. He never, by divine inspiration when he writes, he never associates himself as being a part of the 12. Well, if he wasn't chosen to fill up the ranks of the 12, as religion says. And you see, the reason they come up with that idea is because they don't really understand what he's there for to start with. Well, then why is he there? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, let's let him tell you why he's made a minister. Let's let Paul explain to us what his ministry is all about. Why is it that you come through the book of Acts and then, boom, all of a sudden you're confronted with this other guy? I mean, the ministry is going on here, and then this other guy with this different program shows up. Why is that? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 13. Speaking about himself, well, verse 12, he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Look at here. Jesus Christ back here in his earthly ministry, he said, if you blaspheme against the Son of Man, you speak a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it won't be forgiven you, not in this world or in the world to come. A reference to when the Messiah comes over here and sets up his kingdom, and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit, he tells Israel, it won't be forgiven you here, and it won't be forgiven you over there. The unpardonable sin in your Bible is the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and the nation Israel is faced with that sin. We looked in our Bible studies together the last 2 weeks at Acts chapter number 7, where the nation Israel culminates their blasphemy against God the Holy Spirit, and God set them aside. And one of the ways you know that that's what happened there is that passage Paul said, who before, before he got saved, was a blasphemer. Now think about that. When they stoned Stephen, Acts 7 says that they laid their garments down at the feet of Saul, of one called Saul, Paul, later on. Saul of Tarsus holds their garments while they go out and do the dastardly deed, and he's giving his voice to what they do. He's giving his support to what they do. He blasphemes along with his nation against the Holy Spirit of God. He said, before I got saved, I was a blasphemer. The only person he could blaspheme against was the witness of God the Holy Spirit to the nation through the apostles. Paul committed what for Israel was the unpardonable sin. But he said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly, like a lost Gentile out here, and unbelief, like a lost Jew out here. Paul is a Jew and a Gentile in one person upon whom God has mercy, not according to anything God promised to do. You see, if the only way God could save Saul of Tarsus, and the only way he could save any lost Gentile and any lost Jew back there, was to change the program. He says, look, back here, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you won't get forgiveness here, and you won't get it in the world to come. The only way God had of forgiving someone was to take them out of this age and out of that age, and he does it by putting in a new age or a new dispensation called the dispensation of grace. Grace is all that God is free to do for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that this dispensation in here is called a mystery. You say, why wasn't it taken into account back here when Christ says he won't forgive you in this age or in the world to come? Because this age in here was kept secret. It was a mystery, and the word mystery in your Bible doesn't mean what it does in religion. You know, religion and philosophy and theology makes it something spooky, hocus pocus. It isn't that. Or it makes it a myth. That is something that it looks one way, but it really means to convey something else, and neither one of them are really real. It's not myth, it's not religious myth, and it's not religious hocus pocus. It's simply a secret. It's simply somebody didn't know about previously. It was hidden prior to it being revealed through Paul. You know why Paul's in your Bible? In order to reveal that information that God hadn't made known prior to him. You know how I know something new began with him, something different started with him than was back here? Because he before was a blasphemer and injurious, but he received mercy in that he did it ignorantly and unbelief. He represents these lost Jews and lost Gentiles down here that God has mercy on through his grace by introducing something brand new whereby they can be reconciled to God through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now verse 14 says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Now when he says of whom I'm chief, he doesn't mean I'm the worst sinner. I'm the most vile, wicked, wretched guy that ever lived. Philippians chapter number 3, he says, as touching the law, I was blameless. Paul lived a life of the strict sect of the Pharisees. He lived a life of goodness and righteousness and honesty and integrity, something that you and I would have to look up to. Human goodness, though, not the righteousness of God. When he says that I'm the chief of sinners, he means I'm the leader. I'm the one out there leading the pack of sinners. Howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy. Here it is, that in me first. You know what the leader is? He's the guy out there at the head. He's the chief guy. He's the leader. He's the first one. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern. Get that word. To them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Jesus Christ saved the Apostle Paul to demonstrate a pattern of his long suffering to you and to me who would believe on him to life everlasting. Somebody says, well, I thought Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry back here was my example and my pattern. My friend, Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry never had to clear his voice and say, he never had to clear his throat and say, excuse me. His hand never went anywhere it shouldn't go. His mind never had a thought it shouldn't have. His eye never looked at anything it shouldn't look at. He never said a word. He never went anywhere. He never did one thing. I mean, the Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. It says the plowing of the wicked is sin. Jesus Christ never had a foolish thought. He never did a deed that was wrong. He could stand in front of his most bitter enemies and say, which one of you convinces me of sin? Jesus Christ is the sinless, spotless Son of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If that's my example, I got a problem because I'm a sinner. If he's my example and I'm supposed to live like him, I got a problem. I'll never make it. I got to have help. Somebody said, you got to be perfect to go to heaven. I got a problem. I'm not perfect. And you got a problem. Neither are you, no matter what you think. You and all you kin are just like me. We're sinners. You see, what we need to do is we need to come over here and take our place with the chief of sinners and trust the Savior of sinners who came to die and save sinners. You got that? That's how you get in. You come take your position with the chief of sinners, Paul, and trust the Savior of sinners who came into the world to save sinners. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ saved Saul of Tarsus, the chief of sinners, by His grace. And then He sent Paul out to be the chief herald and proclaimer of that grace, and to be the pattern, in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. Paul is at the head of the line. He's the first in the line, and that's why he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." And Jesus Christ, through Paul, writes down some information in your Bible, in some epistles, Romans through Philemon. And in those epistles, Jesus Christ is revealed. It's called the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And the way that Jesus Christ desires to be known today is found in these books. Come with me to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. Verse number 15. Jesus Christ is revealed to us and to the world through the ministry that He committed to the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 15. Paul says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace," God Almighty separated Paul from the nation Israel and called him by His grace, "to reveal His Son." Why did He separate Paul from Israel? Why did He separate him from Israel's program and put something new in here? Why did He separate him away and call him by His grace? "To reveal His Son in me." My friend, Jesus Christ is revealed to the world today. Jesus Christ is going to be revealed to you through the ministry that He writes down through the pen of the Apostle Paul. That's why it says, "to show forth," to reveal and to unveil, "to show forth all longsuffering to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." How's that done? Well, Galatians 1 verse 11 says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by man." But how did he get it? By the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul didn't get his message. He didn't receive it from the apostles before him. They didn't communicate it to him. They didn't know about it. It was a mystery, not a part of their information. It didn't originate from man. Some man, Paul or anybody else, didn't sit down and philosophize and say, "This is something I think that God would do." It isn't the philosophy of human viewpoint, but he was taught it by the revelation of Jesus, just as Christ taught the 12 back here face to face, just as God taught Moses face to face, so he met with Paul and communicated to him face to face this body of truth and information called the message of grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. What Paul delivered, what Paul talks about, what he writes down, what he communicates in here is what Jesus Christ delivered to him. Ephesians chapter 3, turn there with me. Get this passage in your Bible. Let this passage just say, if you'd let the words on the page in a King James Bible make a difference in your life today, it'll transform your life for eternity. Now, you can have your religious viewpoint, you can have your own ideas, and that's fine, but if you want to know what God is saying, He'll say it to you right here. You don't have to pray about it, you don't have to wonder about it, you don't have to say, "Oh, I wish I knew." If you just let God's Word make a difference in your life, it'll make the difference. This passage right here will transform your whole life. Ephesians chapter 3. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward." If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's given to me to send to you. "How that by revelation," He, Jesus Christ up here, "by revelation made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore." In other words, in few words, "whereby you may understand, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known." These people back here didn't know about it. "As it is now revealed." You can't get anything any clearer than that. These people didn't know it. It's now revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Jesus Christ reveals it to Paul, and through him the Spirit of God reveals it to other people. that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I made a minister according to the gifts of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You go back here and you can search the scriptures back here and you can find Jesus Christ according to prophecy, but there's some truth about Jesus Christ that you can't go back here and search out. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that wasn't revealed back there. To make all men see, says in verse 9, what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Why is Paul in this Bible? Paul's not in the Bible to fill up the ranks of the 12. No, my friend, Paul's in this Bible to be a pattern to those who would hereafter believe on him the life everlasting. Paul is in the Bible as a pattern, as the chief of sinners, to lead the way in the understanding of a new program and a new purpose, so that God could reveal his Son in the truth that he's communicated to us through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He's in this Bible to make known the secret purpose and program of God that he is executing today in the dispensation of grace. That's why he says, as according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Let every man take heed how he builds thereon. It's important that you build on the proper foundation. My friend, that's why we offer you Bible study tapes. That's why we have this program on the television, on your station, on your program, in your town, on your set. It's a desire to teach you the Word of God rightly divided, so that Paul says, if a man think himself to be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, the commandments of God. We've got a free cassette tape we'd like to give you. It'll help you to go on in your study of the Word of God. This short broadcast is over too quickly to spend a lot of time and do everything. We can't do it all. We're trying to whet your appetite for more. Write me. Get a pencil out right now. Dan will come in a moment and give you the address and tell you how to order the tape. Order the tape and enjoy it, and let God's grace enrich your life for His glory. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, A Question Everyone Should Ask. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with the free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 196. That's tape offer number 196. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you still are not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.